Yesterday we're still on 2 Timothy chapter 4. We were still on verse 18, but we talked about all the places where the word purge or clean is used in the different verb or different word forms of kathos or katharos. That means purge or clean, or it's used of Christ when it says that he's going to purge his floor, the threshing floor. So anyway, we're now in the close. Verse 19. Salute Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left in Miletus sick. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greeteth thee. And Prudence, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be unto you, or grace be with you. Amen. Salute is an interesting word. In normal, it's normally used of embracing and kissing when you're someone that's beloved. And it's used both. It's like the word aloha, where you say it both when you see them first, and you say it when they go goodbye. Paul uses it all the time. Just Romans 16 alone, it's used 21 times when he was telling him to salute all the people. But its spiritual meaning is really the most interesting. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. To the right of a few pages. This is all of these by faith things. Let's start with Abraham in verse 8. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of the promises in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promises. For he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Now, obviously, he's not the builder and maker, the temple and the city that is the New Jerusalem. That's what they're all looking for. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. And these all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. The word embraced, talking about all these guys, that they embraced the promise, that's the word Paul used for salute or greet. And so it's to take into oneself. It's as if they were a part of you. And so, you know, I was thinking about you hear all this stuff about the reason that the Jews rejected Christ as the Messiah was because he didn't meet their expectations, and he came as the suffering servant. And now he's going to come as the Lion of Judah. And they think they still have the same thing. They think he's going to come and destroy all of the enemies. I mean, this is the common belief system in evangelical Christianity. But the point of it is, he's destroying all the enemies within you, within his people, so that the bride is without spot and blameless and is perfect before him. And that can only be done in this total emptying and catharsis and purging and abandonment and disowning of self. So the word salute is really important. Now Prisca, in some places she's called Priscilla, but she's the wife of Aquila, and they're all over the place. They're in Acts 18. Let's just look at some of those. This is Acts 18, chapter 2. I mean, Acts 18, not any chapter. After these things, and this, the after these things is where Paul is in Athens, and he... This is when he makes the famous speech on Mars Hill next to the Parthenon. It's Parthenon. Wait, I get confused. Is that what it is?
Parthenon.
Yeah. And after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla. Now, Priscilla and Prisca are the same. Because the Claudius had condemned all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And this is, Paul stayed with Aquila and Priscilla because they also were tent makers. Now, the word tent makers is, it sounds like they're making little pup tents. It's a much more elaborate thing. It's these elaborate tents that were made for these journeys that they all, you know, anybody went on, that were protected from the cold and the rain and yet kept warm. They were not just, they were elaborate things. And Aquila and his wife were tent makers, and so that was the commonality. They weren't converted. They were still Jews. But Paul, by preaching in the synagogue, they were among the first converts of Paul, mainly because Paul lived with them. And they saw his manner of life. He was the same always. Amen? Then go to Acts, stay in Acts 18, go down to 18, verse 18. And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took leave of the brethren and sailed on to Syria. And with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Seneca, for he had a vow. Now, what was the vow that he took? Anybody remember?
It was the Nazarite vow?
The Nazarite vow. He took a temporary Nazarite vow. For some reason, he shaved his head. But anyway, by this time, in one chapter, I mean, they're now believers, and they're trusted in such an extent that they now travel with Paul. Then we go to verse 26. All right, well, let's start in verse 24. And this is Paul. This is when Apollos is at Ephesus. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, being fervent in the Spirit. He spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, and when Aquila and Priscilla heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. So this is when it was really Apollos was a great preacher, but he had no knowledge of the gifts of the Spirit. So they expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. So somehow they became really trusted to Paul. All right. Let's go to...
Isn't that unusual, women teaching men here? Is that kind of a controversial attack?
Well, it was if you were in Israel, in Judea, but it wasn't unusual. No. All right, we could go on and on. It's also in 1 Corinthians 16. And now back to Timothy, 2 Timothy. Salute Priscilla and Aquilas and the household of Onesiphorus. Household there is a word, it's oikos, which probably here means the church in his house. And Onesiphorus, the word that's used here, Onesiphorus, is an indicator that he was a slave, and this was his slave name, and that he had, Paul had managed to free him. I don't know if it's the same one that's in Philemon. Anyway, he then now has his own the church in his own house, so that's a big deal. The word Onesiphorus means bring. It's profitable or useful. We're in 2 Timothy, but go to chapter 1. Yeah, first chapter 1 of 2 Timothy. Verse 16, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he has oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain or my bonds. So again, he's the point of this is I'm trying to get a little flesh on these names of who they were. Mm-hmm. And back to...
There's a little more verse about him.
Yeah, the Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, knowest thou very well. All right. In verse 20 now, in 2 Timothy 4. Erastus abode at Corinth. And again, Erastus means beloved. And he's in Acts 19:22 and in Romans 16:3. And then Trophimus. The word Trophimus in Greek means nutritious. But he's in Acts 20, verse 4, and Acts 21, 9. And then I left at Miletus. Miletus is a city about 35 miles east of Ephesus. But this is interesting, that he was sick. It says, I left him there because he was sick. It's almost always used by Paul, meaning weak in the faith, that his faith had wavered, so he left him to be ministered to by the church there instead of taking him with him. It was an exception. And that's used of weak in faith in Romans 4:19. It says that the law was weak in Romans 8:3. And it's talked about a weaker brother in 1 Corinthians 8:11. So, and it's the word asthenio. And then, verse 21, do thy diligence. And that's that word that we've studied a lot, spoudazo, which means, remember, it's translated study, and we found out that means present yourself eagerly before the Lord, a living sacrifice. And then it goes on and it talks about all these guys. Do thy diligence to come before winter. And obviously they wanted them to come quickly. Eubulus greeteth thee, and Prudence, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren. Now these were all people that were of Paul's house church in Rome before he was imprisoned. We don't know very much about any of them except one. Linus became the first bishop of Rome after the death of Peter and Paul. So that's kind of an important thing. And then the Lord Jesus Christ be with you, be with thy spirit, and grace be with you. Amen. So that's 2 Timothy, last book written by Paul. I said that we were going to study Acts, but in order to really study, remember Luke wrote the book of Acts and the book of Luke were really one book initially. And so what I'd like to do is study Luke. We'll study Luke and then go through Acts as the writings of Luke and see what, and we'll find out a whole lot more about all these guys that we've been talking about and get more flesh on them. And hopefully we will expound the way of God more perfectly. Now, what's the takeaway from 2 Timothy? This is the last letter of Paul. He had an urgency. To me, the takeaway is, let's go there. Chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved of God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker or doth gangrene, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. If you do not believe that the resurrection is now, is ever present, then you will always be left to your own devices. And this mystery of God will just be a philosophy to it. You won't live it. Because there will be conditions that come upon you unexpectedly to see whether or not anything can take you off the mercy seat. And it's not a matter of, God doesn't want, he doesn't want you to get off the mercy seat and then get right back on. He wants you to stay on the mercy seat no matter what happens. So that he's not going to give you peace, he is peace. He's not going to teach you the way, he is the way. But none of that means anything if you believe the resurrection is past already and he's coming back again in the future. Now you're left to your own devices. You might pray to have him help you every once in a while. And you might find footsteps in the sand, but it's not the life. It's not. It denies what is finished work. And this is especially true in the daily, what you consider mundane activities. This is where the subtlety of the test will be manifested. And you'll find, well, I got to do this, and I got to do that, and pretty soon, blah, 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 and then pretty soon you're off the mercy. Remember, it's faith that worketh by love. Nothing else. Amen?
Amen. Amen. You get off the mercy seat, and you get onto the seat of the scorner.
Yeah, there's not a, well, you get onto the judgment seat, except you're the judge. Now, the other takeaway from this is in chapter 3, verse 5. You know, these guys, they have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. They're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Learning, you can never learn truth. Truth has to be, you have to be apprehended by it. Amen? Any other thoughts about this long, long journey into 2 Timothy?
I was just thinking you have to be apprehended by it, and then you salute it like you talked about.
Amen.
You embrace it.
And embrace nothing else. Not Gary.
And then the only requirement is rest. There's not ever anything to do. It's just
but you can't rest if you pay any attention to your mind. You owe your mind and your emotions nothing. Amen? All right, so we'll start on Luke next week. I look forward to doing that. Because Luke's purpose, remember, is to set in order. There were so many different people that had become believers and then took off on their own way, just sort of just like today. But he set down this thing that he kept every so that all things would be in order. All righty, take it, big guy. Let the record show I have 10.